Hey everyone, and welcome back to the National Youth Official Podcast, Problems of a Teenager. My name is Keon Williams, I'm your host for today. Make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end for more follow-ups and updates on the Problems of a Teenager podcast. Today, we bring out our official youth panel to talk about PTSD, youth suicide issues, youth mental health issues, teenage prostitution, teenage pregnancy, and more. Thanks for watching Problems of a Teenager podcast today, and see you all soon. All right, hello everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the National Youth Mental Health Podcast, Problems of a Teenager Podcast, where we bring teens from all around the world to talk about their problems and how we got through it. We have a great episode for y'all tonight. Not only do we have answers to most of your questions, but we have our very first youth panel. I've been waiting on this for a very long time. We have a variation of different topics from your emails and messages you have left me on social media. But before we start our episode today, I would like to thank our listeners, supporters, and sponsors. We just recently discovered that we were listed in the FeedSpot Top 20 Teenage Mental Health Podcast on the web. So thank you all for that. It took 3 years to get here, but best believe it was absolutely worth all the hard work and determination. Now, let's get into the episode. I'm Keon Williams, writer, executive producer, youth advocate, and your host for today. I can't believe that we're back to give you all the information, facts, and tips that you need to help yourself and others from all around the world. Today, on Problems of a Teenager podcast, our youth mental health panel will be discussing suicide, depression, ADHD, PTSD, teenage prostitution, teenage pregnancy, and more, but, you know, in a very short length of time. With that being said, let's go ahead and introduce our first Problems of a Teenager podcast youth panelist. So today we're going to be starting off with Allison. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
All right. Let's introduce yourself.
I am Allison Ulmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 15 years old.
Nice to meet you, Allison. Next, we have Venus. How are you today, Venus?
I'm doing good. I'm Venus. My name is Vandri, and I'm 16.
All right. Next, we have Jada. How are you doing, Jada?
I'm doing good. My name is Jada, and I'm 17 years old.
All right, next we have...
Kalila. Hi, my name is Kalila, and I'm 19 years old.
All right, she is joining us all the way from college. That's what I love. You know, college people showing us love. But please make sure that you stay and tune in to the end of the episode and let me know what you think, or if you have anything to ask any of our guests today, you can reach us through Instagram or any social media at Problems of a Teenager Podcast with no spaces and no uppercase letters to hear more about our youth panelists. But now we are going to go ahead straight to our episode. So starting off today, let's get ready for the deep topics. I'm going to start off with you, Allison, of course. Anyone, if y'all want to go ahead and comment in at any point in time, just go ahead, just wait, you know, take turns. But just say what y'all have to say and basically mean it, okay? Because the most important thing is that we allow our youth to understand our feelings and our emotions and how we compress things and how we go about things. But the most important part of this is just to help one person. That's my goal. If I help one person, they can go on to change and they can go on to make a difference and they can affect way more people than I can. So that's really the job of this podcast. It's not for fame. It's not for money. It's not for listeners, but it's to help people. And I decided that on the very first episode. So, Allison.
Yes.
You've been in the mental hospital, haven't
yes.
you? So tell us a little bit about that experience.
It was a very difficult experience the first time around because it's a new environment and it's something that you're not really used to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these new people and they know each other because they've been there longer than you have. Because the first night is always the hardest night because getting used to the room itself is very difficult and fills you with this anxiety.
Because not only are you in a new space, you've also got to deal with all these other people who seem to know exactly what they're doing.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, I understand that. All right. So what was your most difficult part of being in a mental hospital?
Probably the incident that happened my third night. Hmm. It involved my roommate, mm-hmm. and it was very traumatic because she held me down and did some stuff that I did not consent to, and... I've kind of just been stuck with that because I didn't ask for that, and I know I didn't do anything wrong, but at the time it felt like I had done something wrong because that was very scary for me because she was 17 and at the time I was 14. And she was going to get a new room the next day because the age time, it was very, just very scary.
I understand that. You go ahead, Genius. You have something to say?
Not really. Go ahead. Well, once you made it to the facility, did you feel like this was the right thing to do? Or did you feel like this will help me? Or like this will, or was it like worse than what you imagined? Did you feel like, did you get any help? Or was that just like a mental note for you to like go within and to deal with what took you there?
Well, starting off, it felt like it was the right thing to do because it was a voluntary admission, meaning I had gone to someone and I said I didn't feel safe with myself.
Okay.
But as it went on, it felt like it was a terrible idea after the incident because things kept getting worse. And I started saying things that I thought they wanted me to, I thought they wanted to hear, like, oh yeah, I'm doing so much better. I'm taking everything I'm supposed to. I know exactly what I'm here for and I know how I can fix myself. Mm-hmm. In reality, that is not what I felt at all.
It's really interesting because, like, in my experience, I've never been voluntarily admitted, but every singular time I was so annoyed because I've been admitted for attempted suicide multiple times, and I've always been extremely annoyed that they caught me before I could actually, you know, it's never really felt like the right thing to do until 2-3 days in for me, and by that time I'm actually realizing, okay, I do need to be here. And if it goes on longer than a week, I usually wind up trying to get myself out by just saying all the right things because,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Trust me, it's open panel. You got anything?
Oh, I don't have nothing.
Okay. So, all right, y'all. We're going to try to cover as much as we can. We have another panelist in here today. Ms. Turner, any questions?
So, what you know now, would you... Knowing what you know now, would you, if you encountered the same situation that you encountered previously that led you to making that decision, knowing what you know now, would you choose to admit yourself again despite everything that's happened?
As of right now, yes, I would still admit myself because I've moved so much farther than I would have if I had just stayed in my room. And, because I feel like if I hadn't admitted myself, I wouldn't be sitting in this room.
How about you?
Yeah. Honestly, for me, that's a complicated question because I've been admitted so many times that if I were to go again, they would hold me for a whole month.
That's called residential.
Yeah, residential. I feel like if I felt I needed it, I would do it again in a heartbeat, but I'd be kind of hesitant because that's a long time to be away from friends and family and
people not knowing where you are because you didn't get a chance to tell them. Mm-hmm. It stresses them out too. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, did something happen? And it's a difficult situation for anyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, during your time in the mental hospital, do you think it was more helpful or harmful?
First time harmful, the second time helpful. The second time was so helpful. I had a lot more people there to help me because they had known what happened. They had seen my record, and they knew exactly what to do in the instances.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The first time, it was pure confusion. I don't remember a whole lot. But from after that, I feel like it was very helpful. Not so much from a treatment aspect, but I mean, they did help with treatment, but I also learned a lot of things like socially that I would, oddly enough, I've never felt more comfortable with myself than when I'm surrounded by people that are going through basically the same thing.
Because they know how you feel.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do a little mixed topics here today. So, on my first ever episode of Problems of a Teenager podcast, it was a quote. I brought up this quote because I have seen this quote on social media many times before, and I've always got asked my opinion about the quote. But today, I don't feel like it's my opinion because I voiced that in my first episode, so I would like to hear your opinion about this quote. some people feel like when you commit suicide, the pain doesn't go away, but it passes it along to someone else. Because once you commit suicide, of course, the pain is away from you. You don't have to deal with anything anymore. But you have family, and you have friends, and you have people who love you and care for you. And that pain just goes straight to them. Because, say, for example, you did do that, and you have a mother. Of course, everyone has a mother. You have a mother. What would your mother say? What would she say? What pain would she feel? How do y'all feel about that quote? Do y'all feel like that quote is true? And one at a time. It's okay. one at a time.
I would speak. I feel like it's kind of in between. I get what the person who committed the suicide, I get them. And I also do get the parents or the loved ones, but there comes a point where most of the time it is the parent, or most of the time it is the family, or it is that situation. So even though it would hurt you, while I was here, you wasn't benefiting me in any way that made me feel like I should stay here. Mm-hmm. So on that behalf of that family member or that parent or that friend, there was nothing much you could do to help me. So this was my only alternative. And yes, it is, you do have to think about that, but I feel like you would really have to be so strong in your being to still be alive and to still fight that urge because of what it could do to people, even if it did hurt you. So I feel like for you guys being here, like survivors for that, that's very empowering because you guys know yourself. Like, that's you speaking, whether or not I'm in so much pain or I got to get out of here. You are talking to yourself. You know yourself. You're the only person that can do that. So with you guys still being here and still pushing, that's you working for you. So you don't even need your parents. You don't need nobody else, even though help does help. But at the end of the day, you help yourself because you are still fighting for your life at the end of the day. That's just how I feel.
Let's hear some more opinions. Y'all know this is what we're here for.
I deeply agree with the quote because sometimes it winds up magnifying because the pain gets spread around, and the pain that you were feeling that caused you to feel suicidal, to want to commit these actions, it spreads because other people feel like, oh, there's something I could have done, or they wind up missing you. And I've never looked at it that way. Like, afterwards, I've always seen that. But in the moment, there is nothing else. It doesn't feel... but I don't stay in pain. Seek out, reach out, find help, do something, even if it feels like it's going to be useless. I always say to do a 24-hour, and I feel like if I had followed my own rules, that would actually have helped a lot. But 24 hours from the moment you start thinking those thoughts, leave it alone, put yourself on watch, don't do anything for those entire 24 hours. Let yourself think, because it is never the right decision.
Mm-hmm. And more opinions. That's what we're here for. No?
I agree, because it definitely does leave them with some pain, because that is someone who looked after you, that cared for you so deeply and realized they could have done something, and it makes them feel guilty because they feel that if they had done something, then the outcome of the situation would have changed. That's all I have. Yeah.
Okay.
I always, after I've, like, any time I wind up in a mental hospital, I always wind up thinking about my siblings, like my younger siblings especially, what would have happened had I not been there, because I know that there are people who rely on me and look up to me, but it never feels that way in the moment. There's always something you're missing, and it's, yeah.
Anytime I'm there and I'm thinking of my little brother, I'm thinking he's gonna grow up without someone there for him, because my older brother, he's moving out soon, so he would have to sit there without someone to look up to, because my older brother, he's a complicated person, and I don't want my little brother growing up without a role model.
Understand. So, do you feel like committing suicide would create another mental health problem or another mental health issue for anyone else around you?
Without question, yes.
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 Yeah.
So, that's basically how it goes right back to my first, you know, my first question with that quote. Do you feel like suicide passes that pain to someone else? Because it does. And it takes a little and a lot of pain to just make you think about that. Just not even think, but think for a second. And that second can turn into a minute. And that minute can turn into an hour. And that hour can turn into days. And that days can turn into weeks and then years and then months. It really makes you think. It makes me think, what kind of world do we live in? And this is why we are here today. Now, for my guests, I know this, and my panelists, I know this is in a very emotional time for you all right now. So that's exactly why we're going to go on a short break. I know you want to hear more, but sadly, it is time for your break. So just grab your chips, grab your drinks, take time to go to our social media pages at Problem 17 Teacher Podcast with no spaces. So you can follow us, and then you'll be able to hear when we post new posts and new announcements, and also for daily quotes. Thank you all. We'll be back. Hey, everyone. Sorry I had to end this episode so early, but this is such a good podcast, and I do thank you all for listening today. We talked about a lot of issues here today. But I feel like it's time for everyone to process and everyone to learn and for everyone to take time to understand what we just talked about today. So, a new episode, a part two of this episode, will be coming out Sunday. It was nice to see you all again. I hope that you enjoy our episode today. If you have any questions, please don't feel free to contact me at any time at Problems of a Teenager Podcast with no spaces and no uppercase letters on all social medias and all platforms. It was my pleasure to serve you all today, and thank you for listening to Problems of a Teenager Podcast. I will see you Sunday.